96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
On immigration, I will direct the Department of Labor to investigate all abuses of visa programs that undercut the American worker.
President-elect Donald Trump outlining plans for his first 100 days in the White House. In a video posted online last night, he said his agenda is based on the principle of putting America first. But there's been a lot of activity before that video was posted, some of it raising questions long before he takes office. Well, joining me to talk about this are Dr. Kamisha Grant, a political science professor at Howard University, and Shermichael Singleton, Republican consultant. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR. Follow us on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or DailyDrumWHUR. Let's go straight in. So much to talk about. Dr. Grant and Shermichael, thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, let's start with the thing that everyone has been discussing, and that happens to be the situation regarding the alt-white visit conference in Washington over the weekend.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!
Well, of course, that was part of the conference from the alt-right that was at the Ronald Reagan building. Also, we saw a dinner that was hosted at Maggiano's Italian restaurant. Maggiano's management apologized after discovering that the alt-right was a part of that event. This, let us just say, no matter what your political persuasion happens to be, Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative, this is a mess.
Yeah.
Dr. Grant, your thoughts about this and why we seem to have the president-elect offering only what seems to be a lukewarm rebuke of what is happening.
And not a full repudiation, right? So I think I saw, interestingly, like when you want to know what the president-elect thinks these days, you've got to go to Twitter. So I went to Twitter to
see what
he was thinking about. And he was talking about his presidential administration as something that was going to last over the course of 8 years. So I think to the extent that he is choosing not to completely disavow these comments or repudiate them, it has to do with his idea that he needs to run again for president in the next 4 years. And his idea that whether he says it himself or people around him have to say it for him, much of his support is based on this idea that he is going to make America go backwards in terms of the things that or the progress that we've made on civil rights over the past 50 or so years. So I'm not surprised that these folks are behaving this way. I think that this is the beginning. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I think that he can't help but not say anything because he knows what he stirred up when he started this campaign. And he knows that he's going to have to call on that again when he runs for office the next time.
Shermichael, your thoughts?
I mean, look, I think that clearly anyone who saw the video, which I think most people probably have, will probably be bothered by it. What I'm rest assured by is that these groups, these people with this type of mentality, this ideology, represents a very, very small percentage of the overall population. Are they dangerous? Of course. Should we take them serious? Of course. But if you think about by and large where the country is, if you think about most people's feelings as it pertains to those types of groups, I personally am not bothered.
But go ahead. So
I was reading about this over the past couple of days, and one of the quotes they quoted, the Washington Post quotes two guys, one of them 28 and one of them 29 years old. And the quote that they make in their meeting is that, you know, we always hope for a day where we could just be unabashedly racist in public, and we never thought that day would come. So we're happy that day is here, one. And two, we never thought that we would be mainstream, much less in the White House. And we understand this as a moment where we got to the White
House. But they're not in the White House.
Steve Bannon's not in the White House?
Look, I know Steve Bannon, okay? Steve Bannon, actually his home is, I think, a block away from my home in Capitol Hill.
Have you built a fence? you know what they say, good fences make good neighbors. Right. You need to build
and
a better fence.
Look, your proximity doesn't have anything to do with his behavior.
No, wait a minute. But I can speak to his character as an individual from my personal interactions with him. And as far as I am concerned, I do not think Steve Bannon is a racist. I'm from Texas and from Louisiana. I've met a lot of racists. I think I would know one if I met one. And I don't think he is a racist. I mean, I know you can point to headlines from Breitbart News. But look, when you're running a news agency that's large, where you have dozens of reporters, dozens of contributing writers, it's very, very difficult for the main editor to be aware of every single headline. I mean, I'm a contributor for The Hill. The Hill frequently allows me to come up with my own titles for whatever it is that I'm writing. Only on one or two occasions has the editor of the contributor section had to check with another editor, which finally went to the top editor in regards to a title that I wanted, and they said, okay, this isn't going to work. So I don't know how often that occurs at Breitbart. So I can't take the 5 or 6 headlines that CNN and others have blasted it all over the news and say, because of this, this is an indication on indictment of this guy's character.
But hold on. Let me say this, because in an article in The Washington Post today, Richard Spencer, who is the leader of the alt-right group, the National Policy Institute, mm-hmm. you know, whom we just heard from with that that Nazi-esque speech from Friday, he in the Post called Stephen Bannon alt-light, which suggests that he is not as much of a hardliner, but still a supporter of the kinds of thought processes of this alt-white, white nationalist, white supremacist. And I guess, like you said, yeah, as a black person in America, all of us, if you know, of a certain age, have probably met, you know, people who are prejudiced, who are racist. I think the thing that is questionable is that the president-elect is now bringing this person in as his top advisor. As a black man, does that not give you pause?
No, it does not give me pause. And again, I'm saying this based upon my personal knowledge of this guy, my personal relationship with the guy, talking with the guy. You know, anyone can formulate an opinion of someone based upon whatever variables from afar. But until you get an opportunity to actually get to know someone, spend time with them, talk to them about their values, their belief systems, where they stand on various issues, then I personally think you have a holistic view of who the person is. Now, of course, anyone can hide who they are. People do it all the time. You never really know who someone is. But I think you can get a pretty good idea by spending time with them. And I can say, personally, there is nothing that I have seen or heard from him that would make me say that. And trust me, I wouldn't sit on this show and defend someone that I knew in my heart of hearts was a racist. There's no way I would do that. So I can only speak to what I know as far as my personal relationship.
Go ahead, Dr.
Two things. One, you want to like minimize this to some of the worst headlines out of Breitbart News, but we know for a fact that white nationalists celebrated when this guy got his job, right?
So of course.
This is not just about like, oh, you said some things on the internet I didn't like. Why are these people celebrating? They must know something, even if I don't have personal experience with him, that I don't know. That's one thing. Two, y'all can't see Sir Michael, but this is a good-looking brother. He's well-dressed. He's clearly very articulate, right? So I am not concerned that he is going to do outwardly racist things to you or even maybe to me when he sees me. I am concerned about my cousins. You know what I'm saying? I am concerned about systematic racism and the ideas that he might...
Okay, I agree with that, Doc. That I think you're raising legitimate points that should be discussed. And I would even go as far as to say... And again, I don't want to minimalize this. I don't want to be one of those African Americans who's saying this isn't important because, look, it is. I'm from New Orleans originally. I get this stuff. I've seen it personally. I understand. But again, I always try to speak to what I know. And when I'm not certain of something, I try to be very, very objective and methodical in my approach. And so to your point, perhaps because I may be viewed as this articulate, well-dressed, good-looking young black guy, it's like, oh, we don't have to really worry about him.
The good
we don't have to worry about him, but maybe my cousin Pookie, who I actually have a cousin Pookie. Listen. They may say, Shermichael, we don't know about your cousin. That's legitimate, Doc, but I could also say the same thing to certain friends of mine who are African-American who have biases against other black people.
Surely. But the issue is that if you can be a black person with bias, but you can't be a black person with bias in power.
Exactly.
And I think that is the question. Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about President-elect Donald Trump and some of the top trending stories on the road to the White House. Let's go to Dan. Dan, thanks for hanging on, calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure
hey,
thing.
First of all, let me clear up some things. I kind of have an issue when someone says, oh, well, because he articulates well. It doesn't matter whether you articulate well or not. Racism will show its ugly head regardless. Okay, let's get that out. But to say that Steve Bannon is not a racist, have you ever heard of someone being a closet racist?
Of
they
course,
smile in your face,
oh God, come
but
on.
Stab you in the back in a second. Okay, let's get that all clear. Okay, what this man, what this president-elect has started, has set us back for 30-plus years, where you got now these white, let me call it what it is, these white racists that have come out of their closet that feel empowered to throw racism in front of your face, thinking that you're not going to do anything about it. Especially like, for instance, I'm gonna give you my
real quick, Dan. I've got a lot of folks on the line. Go ahead.
I just feel like, look, I fear for this country. I fear for us. We gotta pray that this man somehow wakes up. Even though this man is hard headed, and I think we're going in the wrong direction. We picked the wrong president. We had two candidates that were not in favor of us. And I'm gonna leave it at that. And everybody needs to wake up on this, on all this racism that's going on.
Thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Walter, calling from Northeast D.C. Walter, what's on your mind?
Good evening. Look, Steve Bannon is a racist. If he can call Bill Kristol a Jew,
he didn't call Bill Kristol a Jew.
I saw it. He called him a Jew in his letter. I'm sorry, Mr. Graham. I think you're more blinded.
And that's Mr. Singleton, and we also have Dr. Grant. But please, go right ahead, Walter.
I saw it. He called Bill Kristol, who I cannot stand, and called him a Jew. That's someone that we better be dealing with. But let me put it to you this way. If it talks like a duck, walks like a duck, he's a duck. And all of these people, I don't understand this, but I guarantee you this. In 2 years, when Donald Trump can't get the job done, he will be impeached because everybody want to blame Bill Clinton. What goes around will come back around, and Donald Trump will be impeached.
Okay.
In 2 years.
Thank you so much, Walter. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about President-elect Donald Trump, some of the top trending stories. Give us a call. Reminder. If you can't get through, please keep trying. I promise we will be taking as many calls as we possibly can, even after 7:30. I want to touch on another story. Obviously, you can talk about whatever you want as it relates to the president-elect. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Hamilton incident with Vice President-elect Pence. Your thoughts about what happened there briefly, Shermichael?
I mean, look, the vice president-elect stated that he had no problems with what the cast of the Hamilton stated to him as he was exiting the show. And Mr. Trump, of course, did tweet some things that clearly differed from what the future vice president stated. But I am in the camp that what the vice president stated, I think most people would say, okay, that's fair. That's objective. This is America. People have the freedom to voice their opinions, to voice their concerns. And if we are going to live up to that, no matter where they are, as long as it's not threatening language, they should be allowed to do that. And he paused and he listened and he told his kids, this is America. This is freedom. This this is what it's like. And I think that was important that he stated that, and it was important that he took that opportunity to teach his kids a very, very valuable lesson.
Dr. Grant, I'm going to let you comment on that in just a bit, but I need to take a break. If you're on the lines, Elise calling from Woodbridge, Virginia, Eric calling from Germantown, Omar calling from Silver Spring, and Rashid calling from D.C., do not hang up. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. The Quiet Storm is next on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. More of this conversation in just a few moments. Stay with us.